Chapter 15. The evening's trial run at the salon went well, and Nia was relieved to find her confidence flooding back. Jade seemed delighted with her hair, and Nia felt more appreciated and flattered than she had for a long time. They didn't discuss Nia's call with the police officer until they were sharing a glass of wine after the haircut was finished, and this was as a result of something Jade needed to show her. "Come and see this," she said to Nia, and took her over to the reception desk. "I knew you were going to be great," she threw Nia a huge smile, "and so I started to go through Ruby's appointments. Now, what I found was, that night before she went down to the beach, I know she came in here." "She did. I saw her, and actually the police told me it was in here she typed the letter to the caller on the helpline." "I see. I'd not realised that. Well, as I say, I was looking through the book and found she'd gone through her appointments for the following week, making notes by some of her clients, suggestions for things they might like to try." "Gosh, that's very conscientious. Did she do that regularly?" "I know she came in here some Sunday nights before she went off to her charity work. I had a theory she felt guilty for having a day off on the Monday, and this was her way of doing some work. The point is, she did this the night she died, and if she was planning to kill herself, why on earth would she do such a thing?" Nia pursed her lips. "You have a point. It is strange. Did the police tell you that this was the laptop Ruby wrote the letter I was talking about on, the one to the caller?" "No, they didn't mention it." "I suppose because it wasn't the one they found on the beach, they didn't think it was important." Nia told Jade about the explanation the police had given her. Granted, she wasn't actually holding the letter to the caller, it still leaves the question of what happened to it. "You say it was printed off?"
"Oh, yes, but the police think she must have thrown it away."
They returned to their seats.
"Nothing adds up, does it?" said Jade.
Nia told Jade about her email from Gwen.
"So she has her doubts as well?"
"It sounds like it, yes. She wanted me to keep asking questions, at least see if I could find out who sent the voodoo doll to Ruby."
"But the police didn't find anything, and they are able to make searches and things."
"I know, but I think my advantage is that Ruby had shown me the voodoo doll, and I saw how upset she was. I know in my heart that there is no way she sent that to herself. And I am determined to find who sent it. In fact, I made a start this morning. I went for a walk with Ethan and asked him about that car accident between Ruby and Ian. That seems to have caused a lot more ill will than it needed. And why did Ruby talk about having to lie?"
"She didn't say much to me. I have no idea. Did you get any answers?"
"Not really. It's a bit of a mystery." "But you are checking on them because you think Ian may have sent that doll?"
"I don't know. It was actually Lucy that Ruby had suggested."
"That seems more likely, but why? That's the problem. Why on earth should Lucy or Ian hate Ruby that much?"
Nia shook her head. "By the way, I was thinking more about that candle, the red one," said Jade.
"Oh, yes. As you have probably noticed, Ruby and I had separate colours for our seals. She used red and I used green. To everyone else, it was just a cute thing we did. The colours matched our names. What no one knows is that it was actually very important to Ruby and me that we never used each other's colours. We promised we would never do that. It was like a pact we had. And I know that sounds daft, but the whole seal thing was almost like a ritual to us.
I remember watching Ruby and thinking that she took it very seriously."
"Yes, we did. When I first heard about the candles and the seals, I was too upset to think clearly about it. But now I realise the idea of Ruby using a green candle is just absurd. She would never have done that."
Nia was struck by the passion in Jade's voice.
"I can understand that, but I guess the police would think that in the state of mind she was in, maybe she overlooked that, took the wrong candle down with her."
"I can see they might say that. And the evidence would point to that, but in my heart, I don't believe it."
Nia saw tears of frustration in her eyes.
"I'm so sorry, Jade. This is a nightmare for you." It is. I don't see how I am meant to mourn my sister until I am sure of how and why she died. I can understand that. Getting answers really matters. Jade put her head to one side. It does. You're right. But tell me, Nia, why do you care about it so much? It's not like you knew Ruby well. I mean, you could get on the next ferry home and forget any of this ever happened. No, I couldn't do that. I feel too involved now. How can I forget that last conversation I had with Ruby, or the fact I failed to return to her? And it's not simply about guilt or making amends. I need to find out if I really have imagined things, or if they are true. I want to know the truth of what occurred the night Ruby died. And it's not just you and me that have questions. Gwen asked me to keep digging, and I think a lot of her. I want to help. I'm not just walking away from this. I'm glad, and I shall talk to the police about the importance of the colour of the candle. I should have said that to them before. I shall also share my problems with the idea of Ruby taking her own life. I am her sister. I have to stand up for her. Jade took a sip of wine. Nia could see the ends of her fingers trembling. She allowed Jade time to sit quietly. Finally, Jade, after taking another sip of wine, spoke again, this time in a far more measured and matter-of-fact voice. Anyway, back to the salon. How do you feel about coming to work tomorrow? Honestly, I'd trust my most valued customer with you. It would be great if you'd come. Nia nodded, and it was agreed that she would start the next day. As she returned to the house, Nia thought about what she'd said about needing to know what had happened to Ruby. Jade was right. She'd hardly known Ruby. However, the time she had spent with Ruby had been so intense, and the events following that so extraordinary, that they seemed to eclipse even her own problems. She had to know the truth. She had to know what had happened to Ruby. The next morning, Nia woke with a sickening, deep sense of dread. She was going back to work in a salon today. The confidence of the night before seemed to have evaporated overnight, but she had promised Jade there was no way out. It would have been easier to have an early appointment. As it was, she had a whole morning to sit around and worry. She took Romeo out for a long walk, and while she was out, received a call from Chris. He had a few moments free at work and had rung for a chat. Nia found herself reluctant to tell him about going to the salon. Maybe she'd wait and see how it went first. He did tell her he'd mentioned about her finding a body on the beach to Safi and asked if she'd heard any more about it. Nia passed on that the police appeared to think Ruby had taken her own life, but said no more. When she'd given her reasons to Jade about feeling a commitment to asking questions about Ruby's death, she'd known Jade would understand. However, she didn't think Chris would see it like that at all, and would expect her to leave such work to the police. It was better not to say anything. When the call finished, she realised it would soon be time to walk over to the salon and went to get changed. Nia checked herself over in the mirror. Back home, she had clothes she saved for work. Few people realised how messed up your clothes got in her job. The hair itself managed to get everywhere. Then there were all the products you sprayed and massaged into hair. There was always the danger of getting dyes on your clothes, and Nia had discovered that buying cheaper clothes for work was the answer. However, despite how sore her feet and back got, she had always worn heels. Today, she had to rethink. Jade wore far more casual clothes to work, and as there were only the two of them, she didn't want to look overdressed. Also, she seemed to be living in her old trainers here. Maybe she could get some smarter shoes that might do for work. Today, however, it would have to be heels and tight jeans. After giving Romeo a good walk, she settled him down. In the past, he'd got used to being left for about 3 hours at a time. She'd always managed to get home for lunch, to let him out for a walk and food. But since she'd left work, they'd hardly been apart, and so today she gave him an extra hug and biscuit. "I'm only in the salon opposite," she reassured him. "I'll come back as often as I can." With this, she left and walked across the close. Jade greeted her with a relieved smile. "You've come, thank God. I wasn't sure if you'd chickened out." "You don't know how close I came to that." "Quick, I'm getting you coffee and locking the door. You are going nowhere, said Jade, laughing. Now, I explained a lot of stuff last night, but you were so nervous, I'm not sure how much you took in. Let me recap quickly. They went to the reception desk. As I said, we will need to be careful making appointments for the future, as obviously I don't know how long I have you. However, I will start asking up at the college and looking around. I'd rather find someone through word of mouth. I think the best thing to do is for you to use Ruby's appointment book, but make sure you take a note of everyone's phone numbers in case, when it comes to it, I am on my own and have to fit them in a different time. She swallowed, took a breath. The laptop and printer we use for accounts, emails and the like, none of that needs to bother you. Jade went through payments and then took Nia around the rest of the salon. It was all pretty much what she was used to, and Nia quickly felt at home. Finally, Jade took Nia to where she would be working, something they'd avoided the night before. This had been Ruby's area, but everything of Ruby's had been cleared away. Nia caught Jade's eye in the mirror, could see her eyes screwed up with hurt, gave her an understanding smile. Jade nodded back. I've cleared everything out, she said, and then checked her watch. It was 2 o'clock. First, a customer for Jade arrived, and she was quickly followed by Lucy, who had obviously been told Nia would be doing her hair, and walked over to her. With such a short distance to come, she had none of the paraphernalia that clients often brought, not even a coat, although she was, as always, smartly dressed in high-heeled shoes and wearing her large sunglasses. Nia helped Lucy with her gown, smelt the familiar perfume. Lucy sat down, took off her sunglasses, tucked her silk scarf neatly into the neck of the gown. Right, said Nia. Tell me what you would like done today. As she spoke, she touched Lucy's hair lightly, studied it. Your hair is in beautiful condition. It has been very well cut. Thank you. Ruby was very good. I wouldn't usually go to a local place like this, but I spotted immediately Ruby knew what she was doing. She looked at Nia via the mirror. It feels very odd being here without her. I'm sure it does, said Nia gently. I suppose life has to go on. So today, can I just have a tidy up? Nia smiled, recognising she was on trial. That's fine. Let's wash first, then. Lucy stood up, but she seemed slightly unsteady as she walked over to the sink. Nia hadn't washed a client's hair for some time, but she enjoyed it. She could tell a lot about her clients and how they were feeling from the tension in their scalps. Lucy held herself very tightly, was reluctant even to bend her neck backwards. Nia helped her ease her head back and tested the water. Slowly, she felt Lucy relax. Once Lucy's hair had been washed and combed away from her face, Nia felt that despite all her makeup, Lucy looked much closer to her real age. Nia was sure she'd had some kind of cosmetic procedures, Botox, fillers, she would guess. Nia had no objection to them, but she was aware that Lucy was a woman very much fighting her age. Nia started cutting, and as she did, she realised she ought to try and use the occasion to see if there was any way she could tactfully ask Lucy about Ruby, but decided that being direct was the best way. I was thinking about Ruby, she said. You said she interfered. You said that after the accident you'd changed your opinion of her. You sounded angry with her. Nia sensed Lucy freeze and look up. She saw a look of horror on Lucy's face. She waited, felt Lucy's shoulders relax. Goodness, no. I was never angry with Ruby. I see. Sorry, I got that wrong. I'd been wondering why, you see. After all, it sounds as if the car crash Ian and Ruby had was all settled very amicably. Lucy shot her an anxious look in the mirror. That was a very minor accident. To even call it a car crash is an exaggeration. But it sounded like it worried Ruby quite a lot. She overreacted, that's all. It was completely unnecessary to call the police and take photos in the way she did. Ruby took photos. Lucy's eyes grew even wider. No, perhaps not, but she did call the police, which upset Ian. With him being so well known on the island, he didn't want it in the local paper. If it was only a small bump, why did Ruby call the police? Ian said she was hysterical. Apparently she got straight out of the car and rang them. There was no stopping her.
I see.
And was the accident in the paper?
Oh, yes, it was on the second page. Picture of where it had happened and a picture of Ian. He was very upset. And I can't blame him.
Anyway, that's all in the past, isn't it?
Of course. I think we all want to move on after everything that's happened. Although it's hard, isn't it? Memories of that last evening with Ruby keep flashing through my head. I keep going over and over it.
I can understand that it must have been very traumatic for you.
I think about it, you know. How I was just sat there watching TV. Ian was up there swimming with Richie, all completely unaware of what was happening.
It's late for Ian and Richie to be swimming, isn't it? I'd not thought about it before, but why did they go so late?
Ian loved night swimming, and I think Richie liked to go once Ruby had gone off to her charity work. Ian is usually back about 12. They swim for about 2 hours. Do you fancy joining them? I'm sure Ian wouldn't mind.
Nia laughed.
It crossed my mind, but that's a bit late for me.
Lucy smiled.
Well, you just need to ask. I'm sorry you've had such a difficult time here. It's normally such a quiet, friendly place.
I can see that. I think it's lovely you all get together on a Sunday at White's. Joe has got a great business there, hasn't he?
He has, but you must try out other places to eat and drink. The island has really come on gastronomically in the last few years. We even have Michelin-starred restaurants now.
Nia felt Lucy relax, and soon they were chatting easily about the kind of food they enjoyed. It was while Lucy was describing a particularly lavish meal at an Indian restaurant that the salon phone rang. Jade, who was in the middle of applying tints, looked up and went to remove her gloves.
I can take it, said Nia, and excused herself from Lucy.
The call was an electrician checking he had the correct address for work he would be carrying out the following day on Jade's property.
Is it 13 or 30 Haven Way in Cowes? He asked,
and Nia went to ask Jade.
Oh, sorry, that's my place in Cowes. It's 13, 1-3.
Nia told the electrician, hung up the phone, and returned to Lucy.
When she had finished Lucy's hair, Nia was rewarded with a beaming smile.
That's very good. Yes, perfect, said Lucy. She put her sunglasses back on, removed the gown, straightened her scarf, made an appointment for full colour the next time, and left clearly happy with her hair.
Nia was pleased. She'd obviously passed the test.
As she watched Lucy leave, she wondered if she'd learned anything new from her. Lucy had certainly been very defensive about Ian's accident, but it was interesting to hear there had been an account in the paper. She would have to see if she could find it. Also, she'd learned Ruby had taken photos. It would be good to try and track them down. There had to be more to learn about the accident, but she couldn't imagine what. At the end of the afternoon, Jade and Nia were clearing up and chatting.
How did you find it then?
You know, I really enjoyed it. It made me feel, I don't know, normal.
Jade laughed.
What a weird thing to say. You seem the most normal person I know.
Thank you.
I was aware of throwing you in the deep end with her. If anyone was going to complain, it would be Lucy. You did a brilliant job. You cut very well.
Cutting is my favourite thing, my strength, I think.
So have you been invited to Elvira's hen party on Saturday?
Yes, I was thinking about going. Do you know any details, though?
I wouldn't want to be going into town clubbing. I think I'm past all that.
As far as I know, it's just drinks at White's and then back to the flat, very low-key. She has some friends coming over from the mainland.
That sounds tame enough. I can always go home if I need to escape.
I'm glad you'll be there. It'll be good to see a fellow islander. By the way, I've not forgotten I'd said I'd ring the police. I shall do it later, after we've finished here.
Nia was pleased at the idea of being called an islander. Although far from accurate, it did make her feel accepted. After promising to work the following afternoon, Nia returned home, where Romeo was ready to greet her. She took off her shoes and flopped down onto the sofa.
Gosh, I'm out of practice, she said to him. I'm completely done in after half a day.
She picked a stray hair off her top. First, I need to change. I'd forgotten about all the hair. After she'd showered, she decided she should ring Safi. Knowing Chris had told her about Ruby, she was expecting a lot of questions. However, there was no possible way she could have anticipated the conversation she was about to have, or the revelations Safi was to make.